do this? Was this his song?
And Miller.
5:37 here on Sports Radio 96.7, 1310 The Ticket. Happy weekend to you all.
I did. Sorry.
This is you, right?
I was calling George Dunham.
Submitted this.
I did.
And by the way, the big man joins us now, the great George Dunham from our morning
this
program.
One's the fart verse. There's burps, too.
So this was Happy Friday to you, Georgie. Thank you for coming on with us. We certainly appreciate it.
Burps.
Hey, big man.
These are real.
Hey.
This was part of the Dunham & Miller theme contest. You submitted
this. A couple of years before I worked here. Some of those burps.
And did it get any traction whatsoever?
It got second place.
The way I remember it, I loved it.
But it was too ridiculous, though, to listen to every day.
Start it over, Mino.
Or just the burp verse? Or
all of it.
Dude, that's badass.
It is.
Dunham. Can do it. Dunham. And Miller.
Then the first verse is a bunch of noise.
How Dr. Demento is that?
So you're underwater talking there?
I don't know. I did this all on a four.
Kenny Albert.
Did this all on a four track cassette player in a divorce apartment.
Oh, that's awesome, man. So I did not hear you guys this morning.
Hi, Georgie.
Doing the I heard a lot of your program, but I did not hear the emergency break of the week. And it's so funny because we show up here at 2:45 and Donovan was still on the air. Donovan pulled the all-dayer today.
Oh, wow.
And he asked, he goes, have you heard the Norm, the whoa. And I'm like, and I haven't heard it yet. And so he plays it, and we immediately start doing the same thing, I guess, because I heard the promo later on today of what you guys did, doing the it's
Howard Jones.
Yes, it's
it can only get better, right?
Yeah, it's identical to that. And I don't know if you guys did this as well, but did you guys actually try? Because to us, it sounds like that, like you're in a fourth grade schoolroom or something like that, and you're trying to get the kids to sing this song, and you got the teacher up there going, okay, kids, it's and then they go around the room and each kid does it, and then it's Norm's turn to do it, and then Norm just goes,
whoa. He's got a
what is that?
He's got a dart in his neck.
Is that slowed down, or is that real time?
We don't know. We're not going to judge the speed of the tape, but I mean, and then so the teacher's like, no, you're close. It's go, Norm.
Whoa.
He's having trouble.
Poor Norm.
Matching the pitch.
Oh, man. It's really bad. It's so, so funny, though. So, Georgie.
Yeah, that was the first thought, was Howard Jones, and we've got to slow that down.
Yeah.
Because the original thing sounded like it was already slowed down with your hand on the record or something.
Oh, yeah. Know. And him slowed down, boy, it just does sound like dart in the neck Norm.
Head wound Norm.
So I was...
Whoa.
Tony Danza, Norm.
I was on the road earlier today, George, and I got to giggling because...
Whoa.
I was thinking about the story, and I think you'll remember this story, but it is the story of when I was in college, and I had a girlfriend. This was the oil baroness. And...
Uh-oh.
And the oil baroness, she had a house over there by TCU that she shared with a roommate. And it was a full-on, like, house. This was an oil baroness house, okay? And I think that her parents may have even bought it for her so she could live there. And then she got a roommate who charged the roommate rent, you know, a friend from a sorority or something. And that rent went straight into my girlfriend's pocket as her getting around money.
Which meant it went into your pocket.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It became Corby's beer money.
Yeah. It was a good scene. It was a good time to be alive, George.
Only to be poured on his head later. But yeah.
Yep.
So, anyway, the story goes, her roommate was out of town. She left town for the weekend to do whatever, and so I was going to go over there and spend the night. We're going to have a big weekend, make a whole weekend out of that weekend. And so Saturday we go out, you know, and we cut loose, and we sleep in till like 11 o'clock or noon or something like that.
There you go.
And I wake up, and I'm like, oh, man, that was a rough night. Wasn't feeling very good. The tummy hurt and everything, and I'm sitting there. And I'm like, man, now I'm much more free and easy with this. But then I was still kind of guarded with my own potential gas. So I was like, man, my stomach was really hurting. I'm like, I know this is going to be horrible. Something.
And by the way, I still hold true to that. I don't think, as funny as I think flatulence is, I don't think it should be in mixed company.
You know, what do you mean mixed company? You mean us?
No, with women.
No, I mean like if you're with a significant other.
Okay.
I don't think a guy should fart in front of a girl.
Okay.
You've held to that policy all these years, have you, George?
Fair, yes.
Still married, too.
See, yep. I think very early on you have to set the tone. Like, no pun intended.
So you're telling me...
Yeah.
You've never had to blame the duck that just ran behind the couch?
Yeah.
Hey. No. There. Okay. Finish your story that I got.
All right.
This is a prolific gas man we have on the phone lines right now.
So I have issues, all right? And my girlfriend's sitting there in her bedroom, and I kind of, and again, this is a larger house.
Yeah.
Three bedrooms or something like that. And so I walk into, you know, her roommate's out of town. And so I kind of wander into the roommate's room. And I'm like, okay. And so I walk in and I kind of shut her bedroom door.
Okay.
And I mean, this is like, not only is it stepbrothers quality,
yeah,
audibly, the smell, I mean, it was like, it was 25 seconds long and it would have cleared any room in 2 seconds.
Could it have emptied an entirely full school bus?
100%.
That's impressive.
100%.
Empty a bus.
I've seen it happen, George.
A dark bus. Yep.
So I realized, and my stomach immediately felt better, and I was like, oh, God, thank God. And then I hear, what are you doing in my room?
The roommate's home.
The roommate came back. She was in her bed, man. Like under the covers.
That's awesome.
And I turn around and I'm like, oh my God. I don't say anything. I just look at her. I was like, I was just trying to wake you up, and then I just go away.
Well, it worked.
She's just, man, like, oh my God. It was
wow.
What do you possibly say? Okay, so we're freshmen at North Texas, right?
Uh-huh.
And, I mean, this is all we did was either record them, just try to make everybody laugh with them, light them, everything. I mean, it was
anything you could do with them.
Save them.
Jar.
They're so versatile.
So we were trying to prank, and that's the other thing. We're in a constant prank war, these guys across the hall, Craig and I were. So we were playing this elaborate prank, and we needed this girl who lived above us to be in on it. So we went to go explain the prank to her, and we had tile flooring in West Hall. And I was so conditioned to make Craig and everybody else laugh. But here's the thing. We were having a conversation with this girl.
Okay.
And somehow I got distracted, like, oh my gosh, this could be maybe the
the one
butt explosion of the semester.
This could be the upper deck.
I forgot. I was so trained to just try to make somebody laugh with that. And I'm next to Craig. And it was the same thing. It was like one that Yeah, just like in the movie Step Brothers. I know it was longer than 10 seconds. I know it was loud enough to hear three rooms down. Just let loose with it, and then I looked at Craig, and then immediately looked down at this girl, and I said, oh, my gosh, I forgot we were in your room. And I just ran out of the room. I didn't know what to do.
You ran out?
I ran out of the room, immediately fell to my knees in the hallway and started rolling around laughing because I couldn't contain myself. And Craig came out, you know, that junior look where he's just, his eyes are wide and he's got his mouth wide open.
Yes, I love that look.
What were you thinking? Oh, man, I don't know.
Man, I think we get so comfortable. Like, I've done that before when I'm leaving an old girlfriend. Like, this is in my late 20s, early 30s. I remember leaving this girl a voicemail. And I'm just sitting there like, hey, you know, what's going on? What are you doing? Just call me later. And I'm sitting, like, on a recliner, just totally relaxed. And I'm not even thinking. All of a sudden, just... And then I'm like... Wait, anyway, call me back. She calls back. She's like, was that you? I'm like, I
don't know.
Yeah, it was. No, I don't know what I was doing. I just forgot. You just don't realize.
My neighbor's duck for the weekend. And I never on him.
You're babysitting a duck.
Yeah, how much denial do you have to go through at your house? Because, you know what? Here's what I don't like.
Fart.
Yeah, I think I might have just said fart.
Paging Dr. Freud.
I would...
Whoa.
I feel like I'm falsely accused of a lot of noises. And oftentimes it's just like a foot noise under the kitchen table while you're typing or something. And, you know, you'll make a sound, and then the missus looks at me with just full disgust that, don't, you know, why'd you just do that? Why are you such a pig, basically?
Yeah.
And it's a false accusation, and it's hurtful.
Yeah. I never do it. I mean, it's,
where do
it's
you go?
If I do.
Yeah, what do you do?
No.
What's your method of release?
Well, there was the one time that I went outside, and this is like two houses ago, and we had like a, I don't know, it was supposed to be a 6-foot fence. I don't think it was. And I just went out to the patio, faced the alley, and let rip.
You let the neighbors barbecue.
Well, a couple was out for their evening walk, and they said, "We heard that."
We heard that.
And again, as it reverberated off the fence and concrete, and you know, like echoed through the neighborhood.
You know,
but yeah, you shouldn't. I don't think you should ever do that. I just and my kids. Here's the other thing. I'll throw them under the bus. A house full of boys with three boys, especially the two older ones, that was their big thing, was see who could do that. And I would try to keep a straight face and say, guys, that's just one thing you don't do in front of women and certainly your mom. But every time we'd go on a trip, their big game was they would award points to each other.
Yeah.
Jumping bed to bed to see if they could let fly while in the air.
Well, in the air,
like it was going to propel them further.
Yes, it was all on style points on how you landed and how loud it was.
We get the now if we're all watching a movie or something on the couch and we're all laying around and, you know, I'll just release hell and my kids don't even look at me, but their hand will go up in the air to high five and just be like, bro. You know, like, yeah.
When I found out that George and Craig years ago did a series of recording their farts and had a fart tape, I couldn't believe that there was somebody out there other than myself and my best friend in high school that did that. Because we had one that we passed around this jam box back and forth with each other. Like, it's your turn to take it tonight, and he'd fill it up with whatever he had, and then I'd take it the next night and fill it up with whatever I had. And by the end of, you know, a few weeks, we've got like a 6-minute tape, And it was this huge 80s ghetto blaster is what they were called back then. And you know who loved hearing that tape more than anybody in the world? Black dudes.
They loved it.
Listen. And I'm telling you, the thing had like a VU meter, and if it went, like a really loud one would peg it, and they called it the Richter scale. No, Bayless, you done pegged that Richter scale. Oh my God. That's how you bring.
We had a bunch of guys who loved it and would ask, hey, man, when y'all gonna play that fart tape?
Yeah. Yes. Yo, Bayless, fast forward to that one. It sounded like a motorboat.
There's no.
We would play it late at night and crank it up on our stereo just to freak everybody out.
There's no way.
One guy, for his birthday, he invited us to his birthday party, and Craig and I were the only white guys. We showed up, and we gave him a copy for his birthday. And he goes, oh, man, thank you so much. Hey, this is that tape I've been telling you guys about. And this is a mixed company party. And then, man, they had a huge stereo in this apartment complex. And they put it on, and for the next 10 minutes, there were 20 black guys bent over laughing, and every girl there was just going, this is awful. She's not laughing. Some of them left, but every guy there was doubled over laughing, some rolling on the floor.
Barbershop laughter.
Oh God,
yeah.
So
that is called bringing the community together.
That is.
Yep, that's what we need.
We do have to go.
All right.
Stand by.
Yeah, hang on, George. We'll come back. More Friday fun next with the big man. Jingle bells with farts.
You're welcome.
558.
Jingle farts.
Sports Radio 96.7, 1310. The Ticket Community Quick Hits will be coming up here in just a second. We're continuing our Friday Fun segment with George Dunham from our award-winning morning program, the Dunham and Miller Show. So, Georgie, I don't know what the biggest urban legend was spreading around your school when you were a kid. There were a couple for me. Hand me that audio cord over there,
sir.
There were a couple for our group. You know, you're only a couple years older than us, but urban legends, they would spread so quickly back then, even though there was no internet or anything. You would end up at recess and someone would tell you a story. You're like, whoa, really? Joan Jett's dead? But the biggest one was no doubt, and this was a story that I think traveled coast to coast very quickly. It had to do with Rod Stewart.
Yes.
Oh,
right?
My.
I mean, did every kid, were they not aware of this story?
Yeah.
Yeah. There's no doubt.
And to be honest with you, the first time I heard someone say it, I was like, oh. And then I remember like walking away going, I have no idea what they're talking about.
It sounds bad, but I don't know what that means.
Like,
I think when I first heard it, I had no idea what they were talking about.
Right, because when every boy especially, I feel like the girls maybe never heard, this was a boy thing, like boys at recess would be like, hey.
Because girls don't talk like that.
Yeah.
In elementary school.
Right, so you're in like fourth grade and you hear someone say, hey, you hear about Rod Stewart? And I knew who he was, you know, but I didn't know much about him. I certainly had heard the name. And, you know, and it was always a kid that was your own age, but probably flunked like three times or something like that. And he goes, had to get his stomach pumped, bro.
Why? Did he do drugs?
Yeah, and I'm like, and they're like, no, because, you know, he did, you know, because he drank so much. You know, you're like,
of
what?
That.
And then you're like, what? Oh, yeah, that's horrible.
What is that?
And then you were so embarrassed.
How did that even work?
You didn't want to go ask anyone, you know?
You just kept it to yourself.
No.
And then at some point, the light bulb clicked, and you're like,
your parents that one.
right. And then at some point, though, the light bulb would go off, and you're like, oh.
Right.
Ew, no.
How? Why?
Right. So for some reason... Yeah. We were talking about this the other day, and I have no idea how I got...
How did we get there?
I don't know, but it got brought up, and sure enough, unbeknownst to us, he had been asked about this publicly. Are you aware of this, George?
No.
Not only was he asked about it publicly, it was done by Katie Couric.
Wow. So,
yes.
That's some hard-nosed journalism.
So Katie Couric.
Katie, we have to ask him about the stomach thing.
I don't think I remember this very much either, but Katie Couric had her own daytime talk show.
I think it was called Katie.
It was.
I vaguely remember that, yeah.
She had Rod Stewart on as a guest. And I guess at the time, Rod Stewart was promoting a book. And maybe I asked you, Bob, I was like, is Rod Stewart aware of his own urban legend?
Right.
And or did he have too many people around him going, don't mention that. Just don't talk to him about that, okay? Whatever you do when you meet him, don't talk about the stomach being pumped.
There's one thing he won't address.
Well, in the book, I guess he was aware of it, and he decided that he would address it. So Katie Couric asked him about this, the excerpt in the book, and then he answers, and then I'll fill you in on the details that he leaves out when he answers Katie Couric. Okay, here we go.
Rod once needed to get his stomach pumped after an encounter with sailors at a gay bar in San Diego.
Jeez! Okay, even right there, I was not aware of that angle of it. After
the sailors, a new that's a new twist.
After an encounter,
so an entire group of guys that right off the battleship in the Navy just happened to be at this bar where Rod Stewart was, who on his own accord decided, yeah, I'll take on all of you.
A whole ship,
right?
Okay.
Once needed to get his stomach pumped after an encounter with sailors at a gay bar in San Diego.
What? Thank you, darling. Thank you. Just winding me up, aren't you? So this is actually what happened. I used to have this guy who worked for me. He was a gay publicist. He's dead now, so he won't be watching. And when I had to fire him because he did something terrible, which I won't go into. So he wanted revenge. So he started this rumor about me, you know, and it was horrible because my kids were at school and... So that is definitely not true.
Yeah, it just kept going on and on, and it became accepted, right?
No, it was never accepted. I mean, I'm as heterosexual as they come.
Okay, all right.
So, yeah.
I cannot believe she asked him. I mean, it was in his book.
That's the thing I always wonder about these people, you know, like when we were kids, like Dolly Parton. Was Dolly Parton aware of how big her boobs were? Because everybody, you know.
Of course she was.
You know what I'm saying? Like. Yeah. You wonder about these people if they're aware that everyone's talking about them. Well, it was so bad for Rod Stewart. Yeah, it spread across the country. Every kid in the country knew about it, including his own children who were our age. They were like 10 years
I guess
old.
Around the world, too. I guess in England, too. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it started in San Diego. So here is the stuff that he didn't talk about to Katie Couric, but this was in the book. So he mentioned his publicist. He went on vacation in Hawaii, Stewart did, with his family.
Okay.
He had a 7-year-old kid. Okay, now all of this is really weird and it reeks.
Okay, so you're saying his publicist went on vacation with Rod Stewart and Rod's family.
Yes.
Okay.
All right. So Rod took his gay publicist and he took his family also. And one of the people in his family at the time was a 7-year-old. And...
Oh, my.
They didn't have they go to Hawaii. The hotel room that they checked into was short on rooms, and I guess they screwed up their reservation. So what do you do? Well, naturally, if you're Rod Stewart, you put the publicist in the room with the 7-year-old. Okay? Yeah. So this gay publicist, he goes out down to the bar or whatever, or goes out in general in Hawaii. And he gets hammered, and he meets someone, and what does he do? He brings this guy up to the room.
Okay.
And so,
I thought you were going to go somewhere else with this.
No. Glad. It's not that bad, no.
He's not a pedophile as well.
No. So the 7-year-old, much like you did, Danny, when you were about that age, with your grandma and grandpa having sex in the corner.
Oh, my God.
What?
You... are you aware of that story?
I'll write that one down next to the Elvis story here.
Right, just write it down as Dynamite Pete.
You gotta have Danny tell that one.
Yeah. So anyway, this publicist, by the way, his name was because he's dead. It was Tony Toon. Tony Toon. Yep. And so Tony brings a guy up. They do whatever that night, and then the next morning, the 7-year-old walks into Daddy's room, Rod Stewart's room. He goes, "Daddy, Tony brought a friend up, and they were kind of doing this and
that. They wrestled all night."
Right. You wouldn't have believed it. And so Stuart's like, are you kidding me? So Stuart storms into the room, looks at his publicist and says, Tony, I'm sorry. I know that we've had a relationship together forever and you've been a great publicist, but I can't accept this. You're fired. And so, as he says in the book, Tony, of course, couldn't resist pulling, or I'm sorry, this is what the book, Tony, of course, couldn't resist pulling some bloke into the bar that evening and taking him back up to the room. I had to fire him the next morning. Tony's revenge was absolutely inspired. He fed the press a story in which, as a consequence of an evening spent servicing a gang of sailors in a gay bar in San Diego, I had been required to check into a hospital emergency room to have my stomach pumped.
Wow. That's
unbelievable.
How it started.
There was always like a quantity accompanied to the story, wasn't there?
I
don't know.
It was a gallon, right?
I only heard five.
Five gallons?
Gallons!
No, five different people.
Oh, okay.
Oh, all right.
So a half a gallon.
5 gallons is just ridiculous.
He says, I have never pleasured even a solitary sailor. Hang on. Let alone a ship's worth in one evening.
Wow.
He says, and I have never had my stomach pumped. Either of... naval issue seaman or any other kind of seaman. With minor variations, this story has stayed with me forever since. Say what you like about Tony Toon, and God rest his soul, but he was pretty good at his job.
Okay, yeah. In some of the original incident, though, that's on Rod, right? Why would you put your young child with your publicist?
Dude, that's so free and easy, 70s, just whatever.
No, it's probably two separate beds.
Yeah.
It's going to crash. We'll see you in the morning.
Okay. Dad's on the show. You would never do that.
No. No, I mean, you would. The thing is that Rod was, I mean, I don't know if he was married at the time. He was probably hooking up with random chicks. He could get whoever he wanted, and it was like, I don't want my kid to see me, so I'll put him up with the publicist. Yeah, who's
couldn't hold off for one night, either one of them?
No.
One night.
I like the original claim. After collapsing at a post-concert party because he was partying
Full?
Too hard. Yeah, and the doctors had to rush.
That's in the...
That is so ridiculous.
That's the urban legend?
That's like the top.
And Corby, I've told you the story that my really close friend who happens to be gay told me when we were talking about this myth.
Right.
He dispelled the theory immediately and said, dude, that is such bull crap. You can have as much as you want. It doesn't affect you.
Yuck.
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 Well, anyway, there is the story of Rod Stewart and the biggest urban legend that ever passed through any kids that were growing up in the 70s.
Katie Kirk will ask the tough questions.
No doubt.
She will. And I don't, just for context, he was 70s, early 80s, I mean, the most popular male artist.
Yeah. Well, I mean definitely one of them.
Michael Jackson went through the roof in the 80s, so he was certainly top five.
Yeah, he was massive, had a huge string of hits, and it was right at the end of his disco career that he kind of dipped his toes into. Once that ended, he was at the beginning of MTV, so he was all over the place.
Yeah. Now
I can't wait to read Richard Gere's book.
I was going
to
say, now we need to hear Richard Gere explain that. Have Katie Kirk ask Richard Gere.
That one either.
And Mikey with his pop rocks.
Right.
Mikey, okay.
What does Katie say, though? Richard, explain the hamster rumor.
Why are you considered to be a human habit trail?
Your move, Richard.
George, we skiing?
Yeah. Maybe.
I hope so.
It's not the weekend yet, bro.
Oh, well, it's the weekend.
It feels like it's
6 o'clock on a Friday. It is the weekend.
It's the weekend.
Perfect skiing conditions.
All right, brother. Get that boat out there. Have some fun. We appreciate it. We love you, and we'll talk to you very soon.
I love you guys, too. Miss you.
Bye, George. Miss you, too, Georgie. There he goes.
Get that money.
Still ski on the weekend.
Get that money, player.
Get that money. All right, so there you go.